Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So many people who wanted to buy those Oasis tickets over the weekend were left fairly horrified over the use of so-called dynamic pricing, because that saw some tickets selling for over €400, far more than the advertised starting price. And this has all led to calls for the pricing strategy to be investigated by the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. Dynamic pricing, though, it has been in place for some time in the music industry globally. It's widely used in the aviation and hospitality sectors here. And to delve into this now, I'm joined by our own Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk and also Dr. Emma Howard, Economics Lecturer at TU Dublin. Adam, I'm going to start with you just to explain what happened over the weekend with the sale of the Oasis tickets. So how did it all work?
Yeah, so the Oasis tickets went on sale. They were first in a pre-sale, which was for fans who might have been on a mailing list, got a unique code. On Friday evening, then the general sale was Saturday morning. So the advertised price, they were from €86.50 plus booking charges, and they were to be limited to 4 per transaction. Now, the pre-sale on Friday evening seemed to go fairly smoothly. I saw some people getting tickets at that €86.50 price. Some cost more than that, but that's kind of common for a gig. You know, they advertise the cheapest price, and then there might be more expensive spots in the stadium or whatever it might be. But then the general sale then opened Saturday morning. People who logged in seemed to be facing long waits for tickets. The site telling them there were tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of people in the queue in front of them. And as the morning wore on, when people did finally get offered tickets, the price seemed to be going up. So some were priced above €200 a piece. Eventually then, maybe after hours of waiting, some were presented with the option, as you say, of tickets at as much as €415.50 each, plus fees and charges. And these were regular tickets. They weren't premium or VIP or anything like that. They were just normal tickets. They were described as in-demand tickets, which is what Ticketmaster called them. And as you say, it's known as dynamic pricing in other areas. Mm-hmm.
So dynamic pricing means that the more people who want to buy the ticket, the more expensive the ticket is.
Essentially, yeah. So if you have a lot of demand for something and there's a limited quantity of the likes of gig tickets, the price goes up. So you can almost think about it like an auction. You say you have 100 people looking to buy the same 10 tickets, then the price goes up. And most people will back out because it's too expensive for them. But the odds are you'll still find enough people willing to pay to shift those tickets. And in the case of Ticketmaster, it's all done automatically in the background by an algorithm computer program. So they'll see the amount of people who are logged on, how long they're waiting, how many tickets are left, and they'll adjust the price automatically on the back of that. And as you say, it's a practice that's been relatively common in the music industry, particularly in the US, in the UK as well. In recent years, we've had big artists like Harry Styles, Beyonce, for example, using dynamic pricing in recent years. Back in 2022, there were tickets for a Bruce Springsteen concert in the US on sale for $5,000 because of dynamic pricing. But this is the first time we've seen this here in Ireland. We have had a lot of gigs with premium or VIP ticket options that cost a lot more money. So they tend, though, to add some kind of, you know, benefit in, like access to the Golden Circle, what used to be called the pit, the front of the gig. Coldplay were selling Ultimate Spheres experience tickets in Dublin for the guts of €1,000, but that came with a backstage tour and a chance to get a photo on stage and so on. So it's slightly different to dynamic pricing.
And the whole tour experience has become really important for artists now, because, of course, they're not selling records in the way that they used to because of streaming services like Spotify. I mean, this is how they make their money.
Absolutely, yeah. So yeah, the money coming from album and single sales. Single sales just don't exist anymore, but albums even, they're not making nearly as much as they used to because of Spotify and Apple Music. They get a fraction of a cent per listen from that. So yeah, gigs is where you make the big money. And so this is why we're seeing these artists go on big, big tours for long times, big stadiums, big arenas. And it's why it's in their interest to push the ticket prices as high as possible. The fans are the ones who have to pay ultimately, but this is how these artists make their money and make as much money as possible, because they're just not doing it through album sales anymore.
I think the big problem people had was, if you're paying for a standing ticket, you might get it for 86 as advertised, but you might get exactly the same ticket for over €400 with no additional benefits.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenging thing. I was going to say we're getting used to these VIP packages, and you know, you can argue whether they're actually worth the extra money, but at least there is some, you know, pretense there that you're getting something extra for paying the extra money. But in this case, you're going to have people standing close or sitting close to each other who paid multiples of the other person because they just happened to buy the tickets at the wrong time or the right time, depending on the price they paid. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting any benefit for that. It's just that you were unfortunate enough to be there too late or slightly too late, or that's just what the price was churned out of the machine for you at the end of the process.
You mentioned Bruce Springsteen earlier, and he was one of those artists who didn't go down this dynamic pricing route until very recently, and then he did. And, you know, his logic was, well, look, everybody else is doing it. There were ticket touts in some markets who were making money off the back of his decision to try and keep tickets at a lower rate. And I suppose that brings us to the point that it's the artist who is deciding to use this dynamic pricing model ultimately.
Absolutely, yeah. I, as you say, that was one of the arguments in favour of dynamic pricing was, look, if we sell it at a reasonable price, someone else, the tout, is going to make a huge profit and the artist doesn't benefit from that. So in this way, it is the artist who gets the bigger benefit from the higher price. But that maybe has less weight in Ireland because there are rules against selling above face value, the anti-touting laws that came in 2021. So it's not impossible, but it's harder to resell a ticket above face value. So not as strong an argument as it would be in the US. But yeah, as you say, ultimately, it's up to the artist. It's up to their management, it's up to the promoter. They can tell Ticketmaster whether they want to use dynamic pricing or not. So if you have a case where dynamic pricing is in place, the artist ultimately is comfortable with the notion that their fans are going to pay, in some cases, well in excess of what the starting price might have been, if you want to call it that. And they're the ones who will get the biggest cut of the ticket sale. We don't know exactly what the breakdown is, but the artists get and their management get the bigger cut. So mm-hmm. they will benefit from a higher price just as much as Ticketmaster and the promoter will benefit as well.
Okay, well, the rule is that the full price of the product has to be made clear before you decide to hand over that money. And Dr. Emma Howard, who's with us as well, economics lecturer at TU Dublin, you had written a piece, Emma, for RTE recently saying that you would be willing to pay up to €500 for Oasis tickets. Did you have to in the end?
I didn't, thankfully, no. I had a friend who, a big Oasis fan, had signed up for their website, I think, about 20 years ago. So he got a pre-sale ticket. Now, we did pay €177 for a standing ticket. So I think that dynamic pricing was already in play.
Such a lot of money.
It's such a lot.
Like, I don't know. I love comfort. And I just think going to an event like that where you have to stand and pay €177 for the privilege of standing for hours is a big ask.
Yeah, it is. But I suppose, yeah, the key point that I made in the article really was that what you need to do is determine your own individual willingness to pay for a ticket before you know the price of the good, because there are lots of other factors that can influence our decision making, but there are rational ones that we should consider before we know those prices. So for example, you know, what you really should be considering is your tastes and preferences. So, you know, you, Claire, might have that preference of sitting down and being comfortable, whereas someone else might actually have the preference of being in the mix and, you know, being closer to the stage standing. Obviously, your income, how much you can afford to pay for a ticket, should determine your willingness to pay. Whether or not there are close substitutes. So if you're a big Oasis fan, you might think, well, there are no close substitutes, so that makes me willing to pay a lot more. But also your opportunity costs. So if you pay €500 for a ticket, you know, what are you giving up that you know, if you're able to afford that amount, there's still a trade-off. So, you know, you might, for example, need a new television, your TV is crashing, the app aren't working. If you buy that ticket for €500, you can't buy that new TV.
Mm-hmm. So has the bar been set then in Ireland now because of what happened with the Oasis tickets and the fact that people are willing to pay those sort of prices? Is that what we can see from the big acts in the future, the dynamic pricing and high cost tickets for, you know, standing up for hours on end? That's going to become the norm.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as you know, as Adam pointed out and yourself, like, this has been in place for things like airlines and hotels for quite a while now. And, you know, Adam was mentioning, well, you're standing beside someone who's paid €80 for a ticket and you've paid €400. But of course, we have that on airplanes. We're sitting beside someone who, you know, maybe booked their flight early and, you know, got it for €50 and you've paid €600 because you've had to fly last minute. So we're kind of in other industries used to those differences. And what promoters and marketers are really exploiting is some biases that are inherent in our decision-making processes. So although we should determine before we see prices how much we're willing to pay, actually what often happens is we see a price and that kind of anchors us and we think about, well, would we be willing to pay that amount or how much less than that amount would we be willing to pay? So that high price of €500 for an Oasis ticket, that was the highest people paid. It was the same for the Coldplay concerts, for example, recently. If you know there are tickets available at that amount, rather than thinking how much would I be willing to pay, you kind of think, well, I wouldn't be willing to pay 500, but how much less than that would I be willing to pay? Mm-hmm. And using that approach, we end up at a higher number than we would if we had just independently determined our willingness to pay.
Are you influenced if you've been sitting there watching your screen for hours looking at 25,000 people ahead of you in the queue, then this item becomes more valuable to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you suppose you can think you've got the time costs. If I've sat at my computer for 2 hours, you know, I've kind of, this is another mistake in our decision making process that often creeps in. Like you think about that sunk cost of those 2 hours of time that you're not going to get back. We should really ignore those sunk costs when we get to the page and we see what tickets are available at what prices. But of course, that influences us and we think, well, I've waited this long, maybe I should just buy a ticket. And again, it's another reason we should guard against this kind of impulse buying or being influenced by other factors. When we get to the top of that queue, we should already know, okay, I really can't afford or I'm not willing to pay more than €300. So if I'm then presented with those 400 tickets, I've got that kind of hard line that I, you know, that decision I made before I sat in a queue for 2 hours. And so then I'm more likely to say, okay, no, I'm not going to go with that kind of impulse buy of spending more than I can afford or more than I should on a ticket.
Well, here we are now. You see, the consequence of all this is that you might feel that you have managed to get good value, Emma. €177 to stand in Croke Park on the pitch.
Exactly. So we, when we look at supply and demand, the first economic model that most students study when they study economics, we talk about this concept of a consumer's willingness to pay as one way that we can measure the benefit to consumers from participating in a market. And so the idea being that although everyone has different willingness to pay, the price that you pay is just the market price. Mm-hmm. It's whatever whatever ticket you get offered. So, you know, I did say to my husband, this was the article came from an argument where I said I'd be willing to pay 500 and he balked at that amount. And so I ended up paying 177. So my consumer surplus is the difference between those two amounts. So it's a €323 consumer surplus.
You're saving money, Emma. You're saving money. That's all we need to know.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, that's a framing effect that, again, marketers and promoters use to make us feel better. So I feel like I have gained that amount rather than the loss of actually spending a lot of money on an expensive ticket.
Yikes. So, well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I just want to bring people a statement we've had from Ticketmaster on this. They say all the ticket prices, including Platinum In Demand and VIP, are set by the tour. Promoters and artists set ticket prices. Prices can either be fixed or market-based. Market-based tickets are labelled as Platinum or In Demand. And the CCPC say that individual businesses can decide on the prices of the products they sell. They are allowed to adjust their prices in response to demand or other factors once an accurate price is displayed to the consumer in advance of the sale so they can decide if they want to proceed. So it's up to you. If you're willing to pay that amount of money, they'll take it and they're allowed to do it too. We'll take a break. Anne Applebaum, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author, is next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.